And we're live, and welcome to another Tom and Shane podcast. Happy to have you along with us. We're going to have an interesting topic today, Shane. But before we get started, I want to remind everybody, hey, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment and all of that. And we're brought to you by StreamYard. And, you know, it's easy to use. So why don't you check it out? There's a free link in the description below. And also, if you'd like to support the show monetarily, there is a link to Patreon in the description below, and you can read about all the great stuff that we will do for you if you support the show monetarily. All right, Shane. Our topic today, do we really have freedom of speech? And as I said in our little thing, you and I are censored on Saturday. We can't say eight words that the FCC says I can't say, you can't say. And I'm wondering, why can't I say those eight words, Shane? I mean, if people are offended if I use those eight words, they can change the station. You know, they don't have to listen to it.
Yeah, it's like choosing channels. You know, NBC for their Olympic ratings, 48% down. You know, terrible result of people not wanting to watch it. And why? Because what was going on? I don't have to get into it, but the point is they didn't turn the channel on. Yeah. So, yeah, everybody has a free choice.
That's true.
You know, the free speech, you know, and it's free freedoms in there.
Yeah.
And, well, except unless, of course, you're under martial law, which of course, I find myself in.
I was going to say, you're under martial law up there. They took a vote in the parliament regarding the Emergencies Act in Canada. And Shane has to be careful what he says today, because he is under martial law. And any wrong vernacular of his, the Mounties could be banging on the door any moment now. So
the Emergency Act was put to the floor of the House of Commons in Canada last night for to give a 30-day full period of this act, and our parliament voted 185 to 151 in favor of it. Trudeau, who has a minority government and therefore needed the support of another party, got the New Democratic Party, which is a socialist party in Canada, to vote with him. That's 185 members. And then the Parti Québécois, which supports Quebec and its separation from Canada, oddly, they're in the federal government, but they want separation. Yeah. They voted with the Conservative Party 151. So it was 185 to 151. I'm astounded. I mean, you know, we talked for years. Canadians never show any outrage. Then last summer, they did with regards to COVID and masking and forced mandating on taking therapeutic drugs. And then this happened this year, and it's a totally peaceful protest. I mean, we watched your country for a year burn down.
Yeah.
I mean, every major city in your country, from LA to Chicago to New York, Boston, Baltimore, I mean, every Detroit, and nothing. I mean, hardly any outrage about it. And nothing was done to anyone. But up here, people have a peaceful protest. Excuse me, Thomas. Yeah. They seize their trucks. They seize their bank accounts. And now the head of the Ottawa police is asking the government to give them permission to sell the trucks that they seized to pay for the cost of having to deal with this issue, which they were paid for to do anyway.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I saw in the news there was one lady, I guess, gave $50 to the truckers or something for fuel or whatever. And they literally shut her business down, took her bank account. And, you know, she's just flat out of luck. And, you know, that's what I say, that that's why I want to do this topic today, because, you know, in this country, you know, social media are companies. They have the right to do whatever they want to do. You know, I mean, they're not forced to give anybody a platform. But, you know, Twitter and Facebook decided no Donald Trump. I think Facebook, no BLM, no certain LGBTQ, whatever, are restricted. And, you know, I'm just wondering why. Who sits in some cubicle somewhere and makes these decisions for us that you know, this speech is okay for you to hear, but you can't hear that. And shouldn't I be the judge of what I want to hear or don't want to hear? I mean, I don't understand why, you know, in our First Amendment, it's pretty clearly spelled out, you know, no law respecting religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging of freedom of speech or of the press.
It's quite remarkable. You know, countries like your own are watching what Trudeau's doing here in Canada under this Emergency Act. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he being a minority government, his government could fall at any time.
Yeah.
But he seems to have the full support of the National Democratic Party. Having said mm-hmm. that, the reality here is that COVID's over. So that exercise of control by governments is now ended. Mm-hmm. Now what do you do? You know, global warming didn't work. COVID did. Maybe this will work. Now, if these independent truckers come to, you know, the East Coast and they jam up the I-90 corridor, which is Washington to Boston to New York, they could shut down the entire Northeast. And they're not going to into Washington. They're just going to drive up and down I-90 and basically stop all commerce from moving or people moving on it. It's people mostly, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. a lot of people work in or live in New York and Boston, Connecticut, Rhode Island, stuff, and mm-hmm. and literally drive to work in Washington, D.C. So
yeah, that's true.
This is tough. It's tough.
Yeah, Virginia, all across the coast there. There are a lot of folks that live in Virginia and just traipse into Washington with no problem. You know,
but so if I-90 is blocked,
yeah, then what are you going to do? You take what, dirt roads, I guess?
Yes, go around. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if we're looking at this, you know, the censorship isn't new. This Canadian thing is new and sort of brings free speech to the forefront, you know, that I realize Canada doesn't have the 10 amendments that we have.
No, we have no Bill of Rights.
You don't have a Bill of Rights. It seems like the First Amendment sure is taking a beating lately.
Well, you know, the whole issue about this, a perfect example was watching a program last night, Rittenhouse, the young man that was accused mm-hmm. of murder and then found innocent. And, you know, he was interviewed and asked about, you know, people that he's going to sue because of, you know, what they had to say about him. And he literally came out and said, well, we're going after Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah. Because after I was found innocent by, you know, a jury of my peers, she still called me a murderer several times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. and said yeah. it was a terrible decision by my peers. He said, so, yeah, individuals, there's several individuals that did this that we're looking at going after, as well as companies. And he said, we're rearing up and going now. Yeah. He's not a public figure, so he you know, the burden of convince a jury isn't as hard for him, number one, but he's got the fact that he was found innocent behind him.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the government never appealed that decision, so it's settled, it's law, you know, it's in mm-hmm. place.
Yeah.
On top of all that, what was said to him by so many people, especially in the Black community, false accusations were that were, again, disproven during the trial. So now not only does he get to go into court with this, he's got the evidence from the trial, and the, you know, they all this was brought out and found to be lies. So if you're a public figure, you know, like Sarah Palin, she lost her case because mm-hmm. while the judge reprimanded the New York Times for what they said, he also threw the case out before the jury had even decided.
Yeah.
So he, I don't know if he did that intentionally to give them a reason to appeal it, but they apparently are going to appeal it. We'll see how far it goes. Yeah. But it's very hard for a person in the public venue to sue people for being liable. You have to show that they had a specific and direct purpose for insulting you or lying about you.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that Rittenhouse has, he has the Nicholas Sandman history.
That's right.
Where Nicholas Sandman cashed in big from all these places that were trashing him, and he didn't even kill anyone. I mean, so.
And that's right. And you know, the interesting thing about this whole case would be that I wouldn't be surprised that Sandman and him have been in contact. I'm sure they have been. But more importantly, they're lawyers share, you know, the Sandman settlements in court, mm-hmm. you know, without it being made public, to show that, you know, they're, you know, people that he went after did settle. I don't think anyone will challenge Rittenhouse. It'll be, you know, how much do they settle for? It'd be crazy to do that. Yeah. I mean, CNN is wiped out already, and all these other networks are. Why would they want to make it worse by having this trial?
Mm-hmm.
It would just destroy them.
Well, yeah, no, it would. And well, I know the attorney for Sandman and Rittenhouse had a falling out. So I think the Sandman attorney's gone from.
Well, that was the one Rittenhouse fired, though.
They had a falling out. So.
But I think Rittenhouse's new lawyers are definitely talking to Sandman's. You know.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah. Well, they're going to go in with that history, that precedent has already been set.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, if you're innocent or found innocent, whether you are or not, you know, if you're found innocent, you're innocent in the eyes of the law.
That's
whether
right.
Whether you did it or you didn't. Now, you know, two people are dead. They shouldn't be, but they are. And, you know, he was.
But I can imagine you're CNN and you go to trial against Rittenhouse. And then during the trial, you know, the Rittenhouse's lawyers, you know, hand all the members of the jury the settlement that Sandman had with CNN.
Well, they can't do that. They can't do that.
Well, no, they could enter it as evidence.
No, they can't. No, they can't. Judge wouldn't let that in.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying, maybe not.
No, the defense would not. No way the defense would allow that in. That would prejudice the jury. So,
yeah,
not a chance.
All right.
Yeah,
that bad call on my part.
Well, I don't think if I was the defense attorney, I wouldn't. No, that ain't coming in, Judge. That has nothing to do with this case. What somebody else settled with has nothing to do with this at mm-hmm. all. So, no, they're not going to. They might try to get it in, but they'll be admonished and, you know, maybe found in contempt or whatever. But
well, they could call Sandman as a witness, right?
Well, they could, maybe. I don't know. But they may instruct them that he can't talk about any settlements.
But, I'm sure that's true, too. Yeah.
But he wasn't.
Non-disclosure agreement. Yeah.
But I don't see how they could call him as a witness. He has nothing to do with this trial. So I don't know what they would.
Well, they're not going to go to trial. They'll all settle.
Well, probably not. So,
you don't think
anyway,
so?
Yeah, it gets back to the question: who decides who can and cannot be heard? You know, and court's an interesting variation there. We just talked about, Shane, that certain mm-hmm. things can be heard by the jury, certain things can't be heard by the jury. You know, when it comes to social media, some guy in a cubicle somewhere sits down and says, nope, you're not putting that up. And nope, I don't want this guy up. And that gal, nope, well, you can't listen to her. And, you know. But,
yeah, with a degree in social justice.
Yeah. So apparently the Ayatollahs and all these other people, all these terrorist guys are fine. We can put them up, you know, but heaven forbid we put up a, you know, whatever. So I don't know. So, well, does the news have any obligation to report accurately anymore, Shane? Do they even have a, you know, is journalism just gone completely and now it's nothing but opinions?
Well, it you know, that's the difference between what, you know, Fox represents and mm-hmm. the other networks. You know, they all say, well, we're all journalists and they're just, you know, TV hosts.
Yeah.
Well, that's true to some degree, but there are some mm-hmm. specific shows on Fox that are just news.
All day, you know, all day till about 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
And then it, you know, and then it's a review of all the day's news with an opinion. Mm-hmm. So is journalism dead? Yeah, if they don't tell the story, or if they make stories up, or they don't recognize they made a mistake and told something that wasn't true. I mean, that's the big one.
Yeah.
You know, admitting to being wrong isn't a bad thing to do. I mean, I think that would enhance their ratings immensely for all ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. For someone to come on, you know, put someone new on, and the first thing they do the first night is, look, I'm here to apologize. We did this wrong. We did that wrong. And my first week in my new, you know, position here at this network, we're going to go over literally all the video and everyone that, and all the stories that, you know, that our network supported, you know, over the last 5-6 years that have been wrong.
Yeah.
And we're going to point it out. We're going to point out the people, and we're going to point out to you people that we didn't call out that we should have, you know, like Brennan and what's his name from the FBI and blah,
Comey
blah,
and
blah.
Clapper and all the group.
Yeah. The, guys, you know, so, the, you know, the Three Stooges, right?
Yeah. Linda wants to know if you're safe, Shane. Or Sandy, I'm
well,
sorry, not Linda.
I am safe. I mean, it's 14 below here. It is the middle of winter, but it's a sunny, beautiful, sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. But am I safe? It's a disparaging thought, Sandy, in my lifetime that I would see, for political reasons, martial law declared in Canada.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I'm personally hurt by it. I guess I don't think there's anything wrong saying that, you know.
No,
I didn't, you know.
No, and I think there's probably a lot of Canadians feel the same way you do. I know if that happened in America, if they, you know, if they had done the same thing to the people.
Yeah, the Insurrection Act. You have the same thing. It's called an Insurrection Act.
Yeah. So I don't know, man, but we take those first 10 amendments pretty seriously here. The media doesn't seem to, and the government doesn't seem to, but I think the rank and file American out here says, geez, you know, I still have freedoms. I have rights. I have, you know, the ability to think for myself. I don't need the media to think for me. I don't need the government to protect me, you know, over protect me, I should say. So no, yeah, I should have the freedom to decide what speech I like, which speech I don't like, what's love speech, what's hate speech, and you know, I've never seen it like this before, either.
Well, the interesting thing is that the Emergency Act, in our kinds of government, you know, in democracies, they're sort of important, and in created in 88, used once by his father because of the issue in Quebec. You know, the War Powers Act, the War Powers Act, which was in set up in 1914, was used for World War One and World War Two, and of course they used it to lock up all the Japanese in BC and in the interior. And boy, that didn't work out well. It was terrible. No. But then he used it in 87 with the Quebec issue. And then he changed the act, the Emergency Powers Act in 88. And he made it more specific. So the thing is that there are, you know, there's specific cause, you know, things you'd expect, a terrorist attack, you know, some horrific invasion, you know, and so forth. There is a list of a half a dozen things of why it can be called. But the only one that looks like it could apply is where it says the premiers of any province are unable to, on their own, protect the citizens or be able to stop an insurrection or, you know, some type of protest. And that's what he's basically predicated is that in Ontario, where Ottawa is, they couldn't stop this. Yeah. And it's sad because, you know, as we said last week, we watched your country burn for a year and nothing was done.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was just peaceful. I mean, these people were just, and they're all middle-class people. You know,
Yeah. And they're not looting. They're not burning. They're they're not trashing people. They're not, they're not attacking police cars. And, you know, they're not protesting. They're protesting for, I think, all Canadians that, you know, these mandates, they keep changing from week to week and nobody knows what to do. And you're trying to run your business and trying to make a living. And the government just decides, you know, I think they flip a coin, Shane, I honestly do. I think they just sit in there and flip a coin and decide,
yes,
we're going to close this and we're going to open that. You know, how come half of America was closed and Walmart's open and Home Depot's open,
yes,
and
exactly.
Lowe's is open? Why in the hell is that? why is it safe to walk into Walmart, but it's not safe to walk into my own hardware store here on Main Street?
Well, a friend of mine made a good point, and that was is that, you know, when this started, the union, you know, the head of the union for the truckers, you know, said they were opposed to it. You know, mm-hmm. as a union, you shouldn't do this. And so I think that gave Trudeau a lot of rope. And we'll see if the rope blocked everyone from blocking Ottawa or he hung himself. We'll find out when he calls an election.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I don't know. It's a sad situation for you guys up there, and I feel for you. You know, it's got to be fearful. I mean, this is like 1939 Germany. You know, you can't talk against the Führer, or otherwise, you know, you're going to find yourself disappeared somewhere, and that's got to be a scary situation to live in. And I know you're in Kamloops, Canada, it's a big place, but it's not, you know, it's not Ottawa and it's not Vancouver. And
it's not Ontario.
Yeah. Right? Or Ontario Quebec, or some of these other.
And if this has been for political reasons, Trudeau's only going to go after people in Ontario and Quebec, because those are the two provinces he has to keep, you know, to maintain his position politically in the country.
Yeah.
And, that's why it'll be quite interesting if and when there's election. Now there's two things that separate us, because in a parliamentary form of government, if you have a majority of the members of your parliament, then you are a designated democratic dictator for up to 4 years. Mm. And you can pass any legislation or any laws you want because you have a majority. Yeah. And you can decide when to call an election, so no one knows. In your country, not so. We've seen that with your situation. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows every 2 years there's an election. I mean, every November, there's state, local elections, and every 2 years, there's Congress, the entire House, and, you know, and a third of the Senate, and every 4 years, the president. So everyone knows that's coming.
Yeah.
We don't have that here. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you're not supposed to have any opportunity for a dictatorship, which is why you have the Senate and the House to prevent that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're watching what they did with COVID. And all of a sudden you go, wow, the Republicans voted with the Democrats in the Senate to get this all passed. So you sort of could have a dictatorship, right? If everybody went along with it, right? Like,
it's a lot of people thought Trump was a dictator. I mean, he was called that all the time.
Oh, the whole time.
Entire time he was in office.
Yeah,
so,
and his family made millions from the Russians. And the ex-mayor's wife of Moscow gave one of his kids $20 million, and yada, yada. You know, it's like this. The thing in Ukraine makes no sense. 45 million people in Ukraine. I was looking at the numbers last night of the size of the military in Ukraine. I mean, it's like five times bigger than the Russian. Yeah. I mean, there's 210 million people in Russia, but they've only got 1 million people. And, the Ukrainians have 4 and up to 12 million they can call on. So, I mean, it's such an amazing thing to watch.
Second or third biggest country in Europe, I think. So,
they're right up there. You got Germany at 78 and so forth, France at 68 and 67 in England and 66 in Italy. So, I guess, Turkey's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, they're also talking about, why are we even worrying about the Ukraine? When we come to free speech, they're a dictatorship as well. They're not a democracy that everybody keeps kind of holding them up as a democracy, but they really aren't. You know, they're as bad as Russia.
Yeah, they're as bad and corrupt. Yeah, I always made that comparison with Venezuela because, you know, when they tried to get rid of the Maduro government down there because of its country's collapse. But then they picked this young looking great guy, you remember, 4 years ago. You know, everybody said, oh, no, you're the duly elect. And then they realized he was more socialist than the guy they have. And that just died. Remember?
Yeah, I know. We just talked about it.
Yeah, you and I talked about him laughing about this guy's more of a socialist than Maduro. And anyway, you've got the same problem in Ukraine. You know, the guy that's running Ukraine now used to be a very popular comedian on a television show. And he promised to come in and clean up the country. He didn't. He's as corrupt as everyone else. It's a Western supported government. So, you know, we're all supporting a corrupt government of the Ukrainian people. And you go through all these, you know, pro and cons on a list of piece of paper when you're looking at it. And you're going, this is not good. I mean, it's a quagmire politically, but gosh, what this you know, this is like Ferdinand getting, you know, Prince Ferdinand getting shot and starting World War One, or I mean, you had Napoleon in the 19th century, right, or early 1800s, then you had Hitler in the 20th century in the 30s, and we could very well have another one of these guys here in the 20s in this century.
Well, it's very possible. And, you know, and speech is one of the things that
all of it,
all of it, man, that's where it comes from. You know, if you can't voice your discontent with your government, the part I didn't have room for on the First Amendment was the right to address your grievances with Congress, you know, and that's what the truckers were trying to do.
That's right.
You know, they're peacefully assembling and, you know, addressing the grievances with the Canadian government.
The reason we had to segue to all of that, you know, talk about it briefly, was because without free speech in all those situations, Venezuela, Russia, Iran, the list goes on and on, China, there is no opposition, meaning they have control.
If you oppose, you're gone. You're somewhere else, you know. I mean, you're just, you're not there anymore to speak.
That's right.
Well, I don't know if we solved anything today, but at least we brought it to the forefront to talk about. And I particularly wanted the folks to know that you in Canada have no speech rights anymore.
Oh, no banking rights, no speech rights. Yeah. You know, you can lose your home, your car, your business. It's martial law.
It's not good. So we hope all the folks up there will commiserate with you and feel your pain. And, you know, we don't understand how a government can do that to the people of Canada, but
I want to continue this, but you know, I'm limited to what I can say or support for the next 30 days because, like you say, I don't want to create a situation where they freeze my little old bank account. I'm retired. I'm on a pension.
I was going to say, you have to give up your chauffeur. I don't know, man.
Of course. I'm worried about that. I can't tip anyone.
Well, that's true. You know, that is a fear. And, you know, that they could just wave of a wand, your bank account's frozen, your employment's gone.
Well, I can tell you one thing that they are covering because it's in the news, so I'm just reiterating it. You know, they're basically a run on banks in Ontario and Quebec. People are going in and you know, taking out their money,
demanding their money because
So I'm expecting this week sometime the finance minister will put a stop to that. You know, they're going to restrict. I mean, this is another socialist thing, you know, that happened in Venezuela as an example, which started creating, you know, inflation. You know, mind you, if people don't have money to spend, you're not going to have inflation, right? I mean, they're not buying anything. They're not able to buy anything. How do you have inflation, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah. So I don't know. Well, All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. We appreciate everybody watching. Hey, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when there's another podcast. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And also, we're brought to you by StreamYard. It's easy to use. We can use it, so you can too. There's a free link down below for it. And if you want to support the show monetarily, by all means, Patreon is a good way to do it. And there's a link in the description below on YouTube for that, and Facebook as well. So thanks for being here, and we will see you on the next podcast.